Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Biz Talk. My name is Tony Bush. Randy Melzer's in the studio this morning. Good morning, Randy. And our guest this morning is Mr. Steve Revelinsky from Associated Bank. We'll be talking to Steve in just a few minutes. It's going to be a very good show. If you're interested in borrowing money at a lending institution, you want to tune in this morning. You'll get a lot of different tips on what to prepare for, how to prepare to go approach the lending institution. And we're happy to have Steve in the studio this morning. But first, we just want to acknowledge that you're listening to Biz Talk this morning. Welcome back. We're glad you joined us this morning. Biz Talk is brought to you each weekend by the local Fox City SCORE chapter. The SCORE chapter is located in the Chamber Building in downtown Appleton. We service an 8-county area, Appleton down through Oshkosh, down through Fond du Lac. We have approximately 40 mentors who are available to assist those folks who own businesses or those who are looking to start businesses with different questions. We have experts in HR, information technology, IT. We have experts in manufacturing, accounting, banking. We have legal advisors. So if you have a question about your business or anything to do with growing your business, please give SCORE a call. You can reach us at 734-7101. That's the Chambers phone number, and they'll direct that phone call down to the SCORE office at 734-7101. Or you can also find out more about our SCORE chapter at foxcities.score.org. And if you are adventuresome, you can go out to biztalkwithscore.com. That's our radio show website. And if you do that this morning, we can even take a question from you on air on the computer because Randy has his laptop all fired up and ready to go. Again, that is BizTalk, BizTalk, BizTalkWithScore.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsors for bringing the program to you each weekend. Without them, we couldn't be on the air. And our longest-running sponsor, the greatest support we've gotten over the years, is from Associated Bank. So we're really happy to have Steve here this morning. Associated Bank is a large regional bank. It's not a national bank. It's regional. But they perform like a community bank. And when you go to Associated Bank, you're going to get really, really good advice, and you're going to get a fair shake, and you're going to get feedback, something that you really need as a business owner to run your business. We also want to thank Albertson Hailing CPA Firm over on American Drive. They have offices in Appleton and Green Bay. I want to thank Lakeview Credit Union. They have offices in Neenah and Appleton. A special thank you to Hurling Clark Law Firm over on Lindale Drive for providing some support to our SCORE chapter. And a special thank you to two other sponsors, eBiz Results, the company in Oshkosh, who actually developed our Biz Talk website for us. Yeah, and Randy is our expert on that website. He knows all the ins and outs and managing, walking his way through it. We're both learning, actually. And then our other special sponsor is Business News. We want to thank Jerry Mader and Larry Desch for promoting our program and their biweekly periodical called Business News. If you're not subscribed to it, you really should be. As a business owner, you'll find out about a lot of business opportunities, a lot of business information that will be helpful to you going on in East Central and Northeastern Wisconsin. So, Randy, with that, we want to talk a little bit more about SCORE Chapter's events coming up. We have some things coming up.
We go into a marketing plan. The marketing plan covers the area, especially we have an area of social media for you that we go through all the parts of that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The financial projections portion, our new chapter chair, Mary Lou Vandehei, does that. She is a CPA and very well versed in what's needed as far as financial planning. And then finally, we do funding sources and meeting the banker, which you take
how to prepare for the bank.
Yeah, you take a good portion of that and work with some of those parts of it also. So it's a step-by-step process to learn what you need and how to do it as far as building a business plan. They're $25 a session, so the whole package, the remaining four would be $100. You can register for that package simply by going out to the SCORE website at foxcities.score.org. And you also mentioned our website, the
BizTalk with Score.com.
Mm-hmm. We have a link on there also. So if you want to go out and find out what the shows are going to be and all that type of thing, you can click on the link and go directly to registering for this class as well.
And simple steps, those who attend the program make some friends. They meet other mentors from the Score chapter. They also receive a disc, and on the disc there's quite a bit of information. The content of the program is all summarized on that disc,
right,
including the financial statement templates. So there's a case study on the disc, and you can actually take the template and put your own numbers in by modeling it, what's going on in the case study.
Right.
And you really gain a much better understanding of the cash flow of your company.
Absolutely, the cash flow. And also you have included in there a number of the different ratios that are being
right.
used. So we'll talk a little about some of those possibly. And all of the things that you really have to put into it. It's a great starting point for people who say, well, where do I find the template? Where do I find the financial information? The other program we've got coming up is going to be in March, mm-hmm. because when you start talking to people about marketing, one of the biggest questions is, where do I get the information that I need for my marketing plan? And so what we're going to be doing is a special program on March 15th. Right. It's going
okay.
to be a program on marketing resources.
Okay.
So how do I use the various resources out there to get the numbers, find out who my market share is, who my target is.
Who's our presenter on that one?
That's going to be Jyothi
okay.
Nettingadi, past chairman.
Right.
She has her own marketing firm, and so she works very closely
with... That was March 15th.
That is March 15th.
Okay,
that's correct.
6 months out yet.
March. November.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Did I put the wrong... That's
November.
Right.
November 15th, just before Thanksgiving.
That's correct. Thank you, Tony. Well, it's early.
Okay.
I'm working on it. The weather's a little cool. I'm kind of thinking March. So.
But that's what Jyothi does. She does a lot of social marketing, social networking, and she's really good at it.
Right.
It'd be really worth... Where's that going to be held?
That'll also be held down at the Chamber office.
Right.
That will be a morning session.
All right.
That'll be from 8 to 11.
Sure.
The other sessions that we mentioned, the simple steps... We'll be at the Chamber office also. Those are evening sessions, Wednesdays from 6 until 9 p.m.
Got it.
Please sign up. There's some room yet as far as coming into that
yep.
program. Even though you might not have gone to the first session, you come to the next four. They're really worth it.
The real meat is in 2
yes.
through 5.
Yep.
The one was the intro period.
Right.
So.
And the other thing, just real quickly, is for veterans out there,
mm-hmm.
if you are interested in taking part of this and so on, the SCORE program offers you the Veterans Fast Launch Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
If you go out to score.org, which is the network national website, you can register through that, through the Veterans Program, and attend these sessions free.
Got it.
So there'll be no charge. So go on out there, take a look at that program, pick up the coupon, and give us a call and register.
Good. Well, thanks, Randy. Well, you're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY. We're going to come back right after the break, and we'll start our conversation with Steve Revelinski, a business banking relationship manager with Associated Bank. Good morning, and welcome back again here to Biz Talk. Tony Bush in the studio here with Randy Melzer, and our guest this morning is Steve Revelinski, a business banking relationship manager with Associated Bank. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tony.
Welcome to our program. Glad to have you on board this morning. We're going to have a really good conversation. We'd like to gear this toward the business borrower from a banker's perspective. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about you, your background, and what is Associated Bank, and tell us a little bit about that SBA program that they're dabbling in every now and then.
Well, thank you.
Actually, they're an award-winning
yeah.
SBA lender.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, we are. Number one for seven
yes.
straight years
yep.
and hopefully one more. So, thank you for having me.
You bet.
Good to be here. I have been with Associated Bank for 7 years. Five of those years, I was an underwriter. And 2 years, I've been a business banking relationship manager. And it's good to get out and meet the people. Once behind the numbers, I consider myself a recovering underwriter.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now your office is located in?
I'm in downtown Green Bay.
Okay.
I'm on the flagship branch downtown Green Bay.
Right.
Associated Bank is the number one SBA lender in the state for a reason. We know how to get loans done. Back in the day when I was an underwriter, I helped approve the SBA loans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to make a good deal better and help people get money they deserve
mm-hmm.
for a loan when they don't necessarily meet conventional standards.
How big is Associated Bank in terms of asset size?
$22 billion.
That's a big bank.
It is.
Are you? How many states are you located in?
Three: Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and we do have some satellite offices that we're opening up in Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Michigan.
Mm-hmm. How does Associated Bank manage to behave more like a community bank than a big regional bank? Because a lot of times you hear about centralized loan decision-making and all this centralized control. How do you do it?
Well, it's easy. I mean, we're obviously the $22 billion bank is pretty big, but, you know, we were a bunch of smaller banks that mm-hmm. were community banks, and we kept that philosophy throughout the years. And we're the number one, we're the only Wisconsin-based, largest Wisconsin-based bank in the state right now, and it's a matter of taking care of your customers.
So you're more of a family of banks than just one big bank.
That's correct.
Yeah, you still have your community connections.
Right.
That's correct.
Your position there, you said you are a relationship manager.
That's correct.
Could you kind of fill me in a little bit about what that means?
The bank made it a focus that to take care of its smaller business customers, and they hired hired a few people like myself to manage a portfolio, check in with the customers, see how they're doing, seeing what products could help them, and just seeing how they're doing, because that's how banking started back in the day. It was a handshake, and that's gotten lost along time. And mm-hmm. the bank realized that we need to focus on the core of our customers and the relationship.
So they not just the numbers.
Correct. Yeah. And they hired people like myself to reach out to our customers 3 or 4 times a year to see how they're doing, whether or not they need us or not. But if there's anything I notice that can help them save money, I will be giving them a phone call.
Steve, one of the questions that comes up, Randy and I are both SCORE mentors, and we hear it from other mentors in our chapter. As we're out there in the community, we hear it from other business owners and so on. Do banks have money to lend? And if they have money to lend, why is it so hard to borrow it?
Associate has money to lend.
I know.
We're one of the best capitalized banks in the country.
Yep.
If you qualify for it, it's out there to lend. You just have to qualify for it. You have to demonstrate the need. It's there. You know, we are happy to lend. We obviously, the goal is to lend.
That's how banks make money, is mm-hmm. by making loans, because the interest the borrower pays on a loan is income to the bank, so the bank has every incentive to make a loan. The challenge is, I think, that over the last 10 years or 15 years, the underwriting standards have kind of wandered a little bit. They became weaker, and okay, we'll make this loan, and one bank would say, we're not going to do it. The other bank would say, we would do it. And competition kind of lowered the standards of what a quality loan is. And I was at a seminar about a year ago, and the speaker was saying the bank of tomorrow is going to look like the bank of yesterday, which is basically returning back to the standards of 20% down, 30% down on a deal, make sure you have the profits or the cash flow to pay the loan back. So I think that's probably what a lot of people are comparing when they look at banks not making loans. How do you qualify for a loan? Well, the answer is in qualifying for the loan.
Absolutely. And standards are there. I mean, with what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years with the economy, the regulations have gotten much stronger. The government's paying more attention when they weren't in the first place. Mm-hmm. And they're making banks – it's making it – banks can make loans. They just have to follow a much stricter set of rules.
When you talk about that with the qualification and so on for the loan, in your position as an underwriter before and now working with relationships, what qualifications do you look for? What should people be aware of when they're thinking about needing a loan, the things that they have to bring in so they know what they're doing?
First and foremost, one of the first of the 5 C's of credit is character, which typically when it comes to loans our size, you have to have a good credit score.
Loan size,
I deal with the customers that need $250,000 to $1.5 million.
Okay.
So we score them, we pull a credit score, and if your credit score is not good, that's the first.
That's an indicator,
right. And you probably won't make it too much farther in the process.
Now, we're talking about the personal's credit score, your individual information,
correct.
Your individual numbers,
correct.
First and foremost.
Correct.
Okay.
So if that score is not good, what would the lender rely on to is how could you convince the lender that your business is going to be good if your personal is not good?
You have to meet the cash flow numbers, and you have to
right.
be well collateralized, and you probably have to have a pretty good personal net worth. But, I mean, as a former underwriter, the credit score is almost like the first line of defense, and mm-hmm. if it's bad,
it's a filter.
It's pretty much stops right there.
Mm-hmm. If you have a question for Steve, you'd like to call us with a question, please feel free to do so. We're at 281-1150 here in Appleton, 281-1150. And if you're outside Appleton, you can call us at 1-866-887-1150. We welcome your calls. And if you do have a question for Steve, we have a book for you this morning. It's called The Winning Ways for Life, written by Maung Win, W-I-N, who is a SCORE mentor. He's also a retired researcher, about 16, 17 years retired, but he went on to work with Fisk. He's a volunteer at Fisk here in the Valley, and he earned his Certified Financial Planner designation. They're a remarkable book, and it'll help you understand finances.
Steve, we were going back to what we were talking a little bit. You know, we're looking forward to hearing from people, but a question that comes up in my mind, you said you work with 250,000 plus. A lot of the people out there starting up businesses and so on are looking for smaller numbers than that. Can they still come to you for help or to your other loan officers for help?
Absolutely. And as a former underwriter, obviously I know what it takes to get startups done. We do them. They obviously, being a startup business, they have a considerable amount of risks. So The standards are a little bit higher for startups, but they definitely get done. And the SBA is a wonderful way to help a startup if it meets the qualifications.
SBA is good for the lender, and it's also good for the borrower. One of the benefits I think SBA has for the borrower is the lender is inclined then to make a longer amortizing loan if they can get that 50% guarantee or that 75% guarantee than if the bank makes a traditional loan without the SBA guarantee. And if the loan is a longer amortization, the monthly payment is lower, and it's easier on the cash flow, but there's usually no prepayment penalty for a 10-year loan.
That's correct. And they're only required to bring 10% down, which helps as well. So less money down
for
SBA,
loans.
Yes, for guaranteed loans,
okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's just to clarify that so people understand, the SBA does not make loans.
Right.
In most cases, the SBA only guarantees the loan for the bank. So, like you said, Steve, it makes a good loan better for the individual.
Well, we all have a rich uncle. His name is Sam. And that's what you're talking about, Randy. The 7A guaranteed loan program is the bank makes the loan. Uncle Sam guarantees the loan. So the business owner has an opportunity to benefit from an SBA relationship. Not all lenders are as enthusiastic about SBA lending as Associated Bank is. And that's a preference, that's a decision each lender makes along the way. And they usually have services and programs and products that will cater to their customer base. But I've always been an SBA lender, and I believe in it. And I believe in it for the benefit of the borrower as well as the lender. And if another benefit to the SBA, for the SBA loan program to the borrower, is if the borrower hits a dry spell 3-4 years down the road or next year in their business, because the lender has a guarantee on that, they can work a little more freely with the borrower, interest-only payments for 3 months, deferring some things, making some changes, as long as they stay within the rules of the SBA program. Right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Yep. I think we'll take a quick break right here, Randy, and then we'll come back on the other side. You've been listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY. And welcome back this morning to Biz Talk. Tony Bush here with Randy Melzer, and our guest is Steve Revelinsky of Associated Bank. We've been talking about business lending from the bank's point of view and pointing out some benefits for the lender and the borrower of SBA guaranteed loans. If you do have a question for us, please give us a call. Here in Appleton, if you're in Appleton, you can call us at 281-1150, 281-1150. But if you're outside the Appleton area, don't despair. You can still get us at 1-866-887-1150. Steve, we were talking a little bit over the break about the difference between profits and cash flow. And I like to maintain that cash flow is more important than just profits. And you agreed with that. Would you like to just comment on that from an analyst point of view and a lender? What do you look at as when you're making a loan?
Well, as I mentioned, credit first, the character of a person, but debt service coverage, you have to be able to afford you have to be able to demonstrate the ability to make the payments. It's got to be well collateralized. You have to, should things go wrong, the bank has to be able to collect.
Plan B for repayment,
correct. Yeah. And then leverage, your debt to net worth is also a big indicator, along with liquidity. Those are the main things we look for. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the profit, as we talked about during the break. The balance sheet is a big indicator of how well a business is doing. It's not right. necessarily the bottom line right. number. It's the net worth of the business.
Okay. And the P&L, the income statement, coupled with the balance sheet, will give the borrower a better understanding of the cash flowing through their company than just looking at the income statement. That's what lenders do. They look at the balance sheet and the income statement.
Correct.
The receivables and the inventories and payables are really important to a company because that's our liquidity. We can have a profit at the bottom. If we're on accrual accounting, we can have a profit at the bottom line, but we're not collecting our receivables, so we have overdrafts in our checking account.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not good. Well, we have a caller on the line this morning. Good morning, George.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Real fine. You have a question for Steve?
Yeah, this is regarding a regular home mortgage rather than anything to do with business at all.
Okay. We'll take a swing at that one, George.
Okay. Let's say I have a regular home mortgage at about, say, a 5% interest rate, and I want to refi it, whereas now I think it's down to about 3%.
Yes.
If I can go in and get a quick refi, as long as I'm held accountable for that mortgage the way it is, at 5%, and just want to come in and lower it to 3%, why do I have to jump through so many hoops in order to just refi? I mean, I'm held accountable for the loan anyway, and if I can afford the payments on the 5%, why can't I just automatically afford them at 3% without doing anything? Just
right.
wave a pen and be done with it.
Right. Randy Melzer is in the studio this morning, and he has years of mortgage lending experience, so I'll turn it over to Randy.
Sure.
Okay, George, yeah, when you're talking about a refinancing, even though you have an existing loan and so on, the loan itself, it has to be redone, checked, and, requalified again. So it's not necessarily a case of taking dollar for dollar. The other problem is that over time, your situation may have changed, and that has to be verified and reassessed to make sure that, just like it was the first time, that your loan is a viable, good loan. So the bank is required, or the financial institution is required, to go through all of the underwriting on you again. It may seem like a lot of hocus pocus. You're a good payment person. You've always done really well, but it's just the way it has to be to make sure that that loan is guaranteed. And I see Steve is kind of chomping at the bit because the same thing happens in commercial lending and has been one of the problems lately. So.
Yeah, it's just, George, it's rules and regulations. They have changed. And just based on the times we live in, we have to abide by much stricter rules and regulations. We have to make sure we answer to the big dog, so to speak. And that requires a lot more paperwork, a lot more. It's not as easy as it used to be, that's for sure. The nature of banking and consumer and business has definitely changed.
Okay. All right, thank you much.
George, thanks for the question. That's a great question. And if you're dropping 2 points on your rate, it's definitely worth refinancing. Yeah. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, George.
You bet.
That was a good question. Randy, do you have a follow-up?
No, I just wanted to say that, Steve was mentioning, the same situation applies to the home buyer applies in commercial lending right now. Because I know of companies that had the problem. They've been lifetime borrowers, lifetime clients of a bank that suddenly find themselves with the inability to refinance.
Have to go through that scrutiny again.
So, yeah.
I'd like to comment, too, on Steve's comment about the regulators. It's not that the banks have sold their souls to the regulators and now we're subject to regulation. The regulators come in because people put their money in deposit accounts at the bank, in savings accounts and checking accounts. And then the bankers take that money and lend it out to businesses and mortgage borrowers and for car loans and boat loans and things. And if there weren't regulations, there'd be rogue lenders out there who would make bad loan decisions. And then all the deposit money disappears, then the FDIC has to come in and make it up to the depositors. So in order to avoid those losses, the regulators have established a number of rules. And there are arguments and debates about the degree of intensity of rules, but that's primarily what drives all these regulations. So it's not the banker falling back on a crutch and saying, hey, we have to do this because of regulations. It's real. And I've sat through examinations, regulations, and it is real.
And I have several customers of mine that have been longtime customers of the bank, probably longer than I've actually been alive. And now they're required. You know, they never missed a payment. Good, longtime deposit customers, always, you know, Johnny on the spot used to do things right. with a handshake. And, you know, every 2 years we have to review their loans and renew their loans. And we require 2 years of tax returns, both business and personal financial statement. And they're like, Steve, you know, I've never defaulted. Why do I need this stuff? And I have to have the same conversation over and over again.
Yeah.
One of the other things, too, that comes up in that, though, is it also develops that relationship. It keeps that going and brings it and refreshes it on a regular basis. I can remember always as a financier that the thing I hated most was surprises.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that situation with the relationship and what does this review do for that? Does that help?
It does help. And, you know, it keeps us in constant contact with the customer.
Communication is
huge.
Critical.
And, you know, if we notice something is going awry, we can counsel the customer and we can help them along because, you know, we don't want to see them fail.
Right. Steve, we're talking about business lending and how it's a little more strict today than it was 5-10 years ago. It was kind of freer back then, but we're going back to what I think are the basics. I think it's a good thing. Just to comment quickly, when we had this big international economic meltdown, the strongest banking system in the world was the Canadian banking system because they'd never really deviated from mortgage loans having 20% down. They don't give away toasters when you open up a checking account. They just stick to the basics. And they weathered that storm. They got hit, but they survived it better than just about any other banking system in the world.
Right.
And they became the envy of the world. But how important is a business plan to a business owner? We talk about business plans at SCORE all the time. So we have a lender who used to be an analyst. What do you guys look at in a business plan? What's important there?
First and foremost, a good business plan by our standards needs to be 10 to 20 pages long. And the reason why it needs to be that long is that you have to show the ability that you're serious and that you've done your homework.
But it has to have good content.
It has to have great content and has to have, you know, the introduction, the executive summary, market analysis, why your product's so good, all the research, why the location's going to be great. And then, you know, 2 to 3 years of projections because that's what the SBA requires. But, you know, we need to make sure they're taking this seriously. They've crunched the numbers correctly and it's a validity tool. It doesn't necessarily make or break the decision, but it supports a decision.
I think it's important to point out that the business plan requires the involvement of the business owner. It's not something that can be hired out to someone to prepare the business plan for the business owner. And then you give the business plan to the business owner, and the business owner comes in to see Steve, and Steve has questions on the business plan, and now the owner can't answer questions. That's not any good either, is it?
No, it's not.
So not only does it have to be well prepared, but it has to be understood by the business owner because that's them on paper to you.
Correct. But the customers I deal with, they're the ones who pretty much orchestrate the business plan because that is their dream and they want to make it come true. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, it is the business owner doing the business plan. And they do them pretty well, actually. There are too many tools out there not to do them well nowadays.
How does a business owner know, Steve, and this is the judgment call on your part, but how does a business owner know that the business plan is done, you know, when it's done? Well, 2 and 2 is 4. That's one thing.
Yeah, right. You know, it's 10 to 20 pages long. It demonstrates, it literally puts their dream on the table, and it's got good numbers behind it, and they can feel comfortable with it, and a bank's reviewed it, and they're happy to move forward with the loan.
And when they open the door, the business plan just changed.
Absolutely.
A little bit. And then a week later, it changed a little more. So that it's an annual thing. It's not a just get the loan deal. You got to have a business plan to get the loan, but then keep it going every year, right?
A business plan is never a guaranteed thing. That's why we don't use business plans necessarily as approval methods, but it does back up a decision. Is the bank willing to
It demonstrates the borrower's understanding of their business.
Correct.
And
absolutely.
Without that understanding, it's harder to make a loan because you may not get repaid.
That's correct.
Now, and the other thing, too, is it also shows the commitment to the business.
Absolutely.
If the person doesn't have the stick-to-itiveness to do this, to put it down on paper, I had the feeling that was kind of a loaded question, Tony, because the answer to the thing is, of course, it never is finished. If it is, you're not using the plan properly.
It is a loaded question, and I get asked that question by business owners, and they sometimes out of frustration, well, Tony, when is this plan going to be finished? Well, 2 and 2 has to add up to 4. That's the easy part. But then you'll know in your gut when you've written it and rewritten it and edited it and edited it. And you can't do a business plan over a weekend. It takes a while to do a business plan. You'll know it feels right. Take it to the lender.
Right.
Steve, if I was, you know, talking about business plans, we sometimes tell our clients, too, that it's not always a bad idea to sometimes talk to the banker in advance. Find out what you're looking for in that business plan. Do you help people out that way?
Absolutely. Helping with business plans, I'm happy to help out with. Even just, pre-qualifying the loan, see if the customer is bankable.
Eligible.
I am there anytime to offer advice and consult.
And so are your cohorts at
Correct.
Associated.
Correct. Absolutely.
I mean, there's more than just Steve. We got a whole army of people like you out there.
Yes, absolutely. We have business bankers. We have relationship managers such as myself. Our branch managers are knowledgeable. You should be able to call someone.
Right.
And if they don't know the answer, they should be able to direct you to the person that does.
It's a corporate philosophy.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Yep. We're going to take a break in a minute. But before we do, Steve, comment a little bit on the trends in banking today, business lending. We talked a little bit about that before the show. And what do you see as trends? Are there new businesses developing? Where do the loans come from?
A lot of loans are coming from other banks competing against each other right now. We're seeing a lot of refinances from other institutions. We do see some new business coming in as regards to a business owner that was maybe formerly leasing a space. Rates are very low right now, and they can afford a building, and it's cheaper than their rent payment. We're seeing plenty of that right now. You're seeing businesses that are taking the turn on the positive side of things as opposed to the last 2 or 3 years. When you couldn't bring in new money to the bank 3 or 4 years ago because 2009, 2010, their bottom lines were all negative numbers. Mm-hmm. You're seeing 2010, 2011, and year-to-date 2012 all showing positive numbers. So the trends are definitely increasing in regards to performance of a business. So
that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Are you finding people shopping around a little bit more for the loan?
People do shop around. I mean, it is, there are other banks out there, obviously, other than Associated. It's a very competitive marketplace, and Associated definitely is one of the most competitive, if not the most competitive, in the area.
Okay, excellent.
With that, we're going to take a last break on the program. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And welcome back to our final segment this morning. You're listening to BizTalk. Tony Bush here with Randy Melzer. And our really great guest this morning is Steve Revolinsky, and I got it right every time I said it. He's a business banking relationship manager with Associated Bank in Green Bay. Steve, we've had a great conversation with you this morning about business lending and what do banks look at when a business borrower walks in the door and what's a quality loan. We talked about some trends and so on. Let's talk a little bit about, like, troubled loans. If a loan starts, you referred earlier to, like, a risk rating or something right. for business loans. What happens when a business loan starts not performing the way it had been and starts deteriorating? What's your process?
We work with the customer. Obviously, relationship manager can see the trouble, and we have a conversation with the customer. And then when the underwriters see the downward trends, they assign a risk rating to it, anywhere from 1 through 9. 5 is a watch. 4 is great. 3 is great. Anything above a 5, that means there's some payment problems going on, or they're showing not the ability to afford the payment.
If it's a 5 or lower.
If it's a five or higher.
6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah.
Once that's done, and then underwriters try to propose a structure, and if the customer has a problem with that revised structure, saying I can't pay anymore, then we turn it over to a special loan group that works with a customer in trying to help them afford the payments and work with the customer to eliminate risk for the bank and for the customer so they can keep their business doors open.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the bank gets paid, and we can work it where, there's a troubled time of 2 or 3 years, and then they bring it back right into my portfolio.
Okay. And when you say the risk to the bank, you're referring to the risk of not being repaid.
Correct.
That's the risk to the bank.
Correct.
And oftentimes, if there's an SBA guarantee on a loan, that might give you more latitude to work with that borrower than if you don't have that SBA guarantee on a loan.
That's correct. Because, when you have an SBA guarantee, the SBA assumes half the risk.
And what does that mean in a $300,000 loan? You make me a $300,000 loan today and it's 50% guaranteed. What does that mean to you?
It means the SBA assumes $150,000 of the risk of the loan.
So if I fail, then the government will actually reimburse the bank $150,000. But then the bank and the SBA will join together and liquidate assets.
Correct.
Okay, we have to take our biz tip right now.
Right.
Steve, you have a biz tip?
Absolutely. My biz tip is always make yourself bankable. Being a former underwriter, I would look at thousands of tax returns. Mm-hmm. And when you would run the credit score, the customer's credit score is 760, 780, great credit scores. But the bottom line always showed a negative number. So they never were able to demonstrate the ability to afford the payment, even though you can tell they can afford the payment. They've got great personal credit scores. We have to follow what's on the tax return because that's what's reported to the government. So if what's reported to the government shows a negative number, that's what we have to use to make our decision.
Basically, what you're saying is the business owner should report all their revenues.
Correct. Everyone tries to save a little money every once in a while paying Uncle Sam, yeah. But in the end, it ends up hurting them when they're looking to get a loan from the bank.
I agree. Randy, a repeat quickly on October 3rd coming
October
up?
October 3rd at 6 o'clock in the evening at the chamber office. It'll be the session number 2 of the Simple Steps program. We ask you to go out to our websites, check it out, and register as quickly as possible. There are some spaces open yet.
Yeah, the website is foxcities.score.org. You can register for a Simple Steps program at that website. We hope to see you there. It'll be time and money well spent, and it's only $25 an evening. So with that, we're going to conclude our program today. We want to thank you for tuning in to BizTalk this morning. It was a pleasure talking to you, and we'll hope to talk to you next week.
Right. And remind everybody, have a good time out at Oktoberfest today. So enjoy yourself.
You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
News Talk 1150 WHBY, Kimberly, Appleton, Fox Cities, a Woodward radio station.